in the squadron. They called him Bullets, but we call him Greg Kelly. Greg Kelly is on the air on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
You know, one of the greatest moments in American politics in the past couple of months, I don't know, maybe even couple of weeks, it was a little over a month ago. I thought it was awesome. I'm always going to remember it, and I'm never going to let it happen to me on something that I should know. Well, it could happen, but what happened was Vivek Ramaswamy confronted war hawk and war profiteer Nikki Haley about the provinces in Ukraine. You know, she's totally all in with Ukraine and the war should never stop and we got to give Zelensky all this money. Not a word about peace, right? Not a word about peace. And Vivek asked her a very simple question. And the ignorance that she displayed in that moment for all the world to see, and not only her, Chris Christie, too, by the way. Do you remember this? It was so good. Listen.
So foreign policy experience is not the same as foreign policy wisdom. I want everybody at home to know that I was the first person to say we need a reasonable peace deal in Ukraine. Now a lot of the neocons are quietly coming along to that position, with the exceptions of Nikki Haley and Joe Biden, who still support this, what I believe is pointless war in Ukraine. And I think those with foreign policy experience, one thing that Joe Biden and Nikki Haley have in common is that neither of them could even state for you three provinces in eastern Ukraine that they want to send our troops to actually fight for. Look at that. This is what I want people to understand. These people have, I mean, she has no idea what the hell the names of those provinces are, but she wants to send our sons and daughters and our troops and our military equipment to go fight it. So reject this myth that they've been selling you, that somebody had a cup of coffee, stint at the UN, and then makes $8 million after, has real foreign policy experience. It takes an outsider to see this through. Look at the blank expression. She doesn't know the names of the provinces that she wants to actually fight for.
And she did not. She had this big, dumb look on her face. She had no idea. If she knew, she would have said it right then and there. So, but I thought to myself, I don't know the name of those provinces. Then again, I'm not committed to sending millions and millions and billions of dollars. I would like there to be peace. Like Donald Trump said, I would like to see less killing. But I thought to myself, you know, wouldn't it be fun to actually know those provinces, right? So, in pretty short order, I learned the provinces. Let's see here. The ones that are really, at stake, you got Crimea, you got Kherson, you've got Luhansk, you've got Luhansk, you have Donetsk, you have on and on and on. All right. So I also know where to find Ukraine on a map. Not everybody can do that. Now, here's the thing, though. I thought, you know what? Why just learn a handful of provinces? I want to learn all of them. I could have. So if I'm in a debate, oh, you want to know three? I'll give you all 36. All right. So. And I can do that. I can do that, and you can do it, too. And Nikki Haley could do it if she wanted to, if she cared enough. But she doesn't. And what does Trump call her? I'm not calling her that, but I think he calls her a bird brain. I think he calls her a bird brain. Look, forget about that for a moment. If you want to memorize anything in the world, there is a way you can do it. If you want to wow yourself, your friends, with a memory superior to virtually anybody you will ever meet. I'm telling you, wherever you are, whoever you are, however well you did in school, however crummy you did in school, you can learn a technique that will change your life. Matt Meany, the program director, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, Greg. How are you?
You remember what happened. So I brought you in here. It was, I think, Christmas. We did our special Christmas show.
New Year's.
And I did my little memory demonstration. First of all, how would you, just seeing what you saw that day, characterize my memory?
Excellent. Excellent.
Excellent.
Excellent memory.
Excellent. I thought it would be like jaw-droppingly unbelievable. Never saw anything like it in my life.
I would. Okay. Jaw-dropping is another one. I just couldn't think of a word other than excellent.
Excellent.
Right there.
Excellent. Excellent.
It was jaw-dropping, this memory. It's
well, here's why I took umbrage at excellent. On my report card in sixth grade, mm-hmm. the top grade was O for outstanding, and the second grade was E for excellent. Then it was above average and good and below average, whatever. All right, so look, you gave me a list to remember, right?
20 things, yes, 20 things.
You gave me a list of 20 random things to remember, yeah. And this was, I think we recorded that well before New Year's Day, though,
we
right?
Did. Yeah.
Like, it was like when, roughly?
I think it was Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Just relax. We recorded it days before.
Yeah. Yeah,
right. All right. So I still know the list.
I know you do. Because I asked you yesterday, and you did it, and I'm pretty impressed again.
No papers, no notes, no nothing, right?
Nothing. I just walked up to you in the hallway and said, Greg, what's the list?
So here's the list again. And just to verify, I'm closing my eyes. I'm not looking at anything.
Yeah, eyes are closed. I have the list under the table. Diego can confirm that.
All right, so you gave me a random list of stuff the Saturday before New Year's Day or New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve was Sunday, so yeah, Saturday.
Yeah.
And I still know it. So here we go. Number one on the list was, oh boy.
Only kidding.
Okay. Number one on the list was ketchup. Number two on the list was Cindy Adams. Number three on the list was Taylor Swift. Number four on the list was Kevin Drosch, our fine engineer. Number five on the list was a bagel. Number six on the list was a Tesla car. Number seven on the list was Joe Biden. Number eight on the list was Pepsi Cola. Number nine on the list was Johnny Carson. Number 10 on the list was Smith and Wolensky Steakhouse. Number 11 on the list was nougat, like you get inside a chocolate bar or a Snickers bar. Number 12 on the list was Oreo cookie. Number 13 on the list was sneaker. Number 14 on the list was rocket. Number 15 on the list was baseball. Number 16 on the list was microphone. Number 17 on the list was lazy boy chair. Number 18 on the list was mayonnaise. Number 19 on the list was Bible. And number 20 on the list was bicycle. Is that correct?
Outstanding. 100% correct.
All right. Now, listen, I did not do this myself. I mean, I memorized that list because I learned it from a guy named Harry Lorraine, L-O-R-A-Y-N-E. Now, he died a few months ago. Great man. So I was pleased to meet him. At least I think I had him on three different shows I did. And I liked him. And you know what? He liked me. And I wish I could find a clip of one of the shows he was on with me. But I did find one of him on with Johnny Carson. And he died at the age of 90-something, 93, I think. And he's going to talk about memory here. This is a conversation he had with Johnny Carson back in the 90s.
Gosh, I'm so proud of one of the letters in that book from a guy who had a stroke and he was in his 70s. And his doctor told him, of course, that you'll never remember again. Yeah. You know, the mind is the first to go. And it's a function of age, which is completely wrong. He learned my systems, and he says that now his memory is better than before the stroke.
It's really a training technique, isn't it? You have certain little principles, and you're going to give us a short demonstration.
I will.
Then you're going to go in the audience later and did something that you did for us in New York some years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
On a short course, you use the mnemonic system or the...
Yeah, well, you know, I don't like to use big words. It scares the heck out of people. You know, we all have great memories.
Word association, is that it?
Yeah, it's association. But, you know, that's been an ephemeral word till I came along. It's really not. It means connection. That's all it means. It's based on the reminder principle. You know, we all do this. We go through life seeing something and saying, oops, that reminds me.
Yeah.
And that's the phenomena I use. It's a natural kind of thing. Names and faces. I'll teach you a little bit about that. We have some pictures here. The cliche I've heard all my life.
You can't see the pictures. That's where it doesn't work. But I'm going to go to the next phase. He memorizes basically everybody's name in the audience. All right? Everybody's name in the audience. And, well, take it away, Harry.
Why don't we do it this way? With the few people who gave me their names at any time today, would you just rise at your seat so I can see? Oh, my Lord.
100 people stand up.
Okay, I'm going to try to, not only do I want to remember your faces, I also want to remember your, I want to remember both. So what I'll do is I'll call your name and point to you, and then if I'm right, you can sit down, and I'll do it as quickly as I can, okay? Starting from here, that's Miss Moss, Mr. Hughes, Miss Sprague, Miss Zamost. Did I say that right? I think I said it better than you do. Okay, right over here, it's Miss Otto. This is Miss Blythe. Miss Emmeling, Miss Norn, this is Michael Norn, this is Mr. Lynch, right over here now, this is Miss Herzman, this is Mr. LaCroix, I knew I'd have trouble with yours, I'll get to it in a minute, Mr. Halton, Mr. I want to make sure I get the Telefer. Did I say that right, Mr. Telefer? Okay, I'll get to you in a minute. Right here, it's Mr. and Mrs. Mears. This is Mr. Spear. Mrs. Spear, first name Silvestri. She told me they didn't know how to spell Sylvia, I think. Silvery. Okay, right over here, Miss Alter, Mr. and Mrs. Urban. Miss Bransky. Am I going too high up here so I don't want to confuse Mr. McCusick and Mr. Batone and Mr. Barker? Those are the cameramen. See, I didn't. Thank you. I'll get to you in a minute. I figured that way they'll make me look taller, see? Now, right over here, it's Mr. and Mrs. DiBiase. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Mr. and Mrs. Fernandez. Mr. and Mrs. Skirta. No, no, save it for the end. Right, Mr. and Mrs. Warofka, right? I'll get to you. right over here, Mr. Eager, Miss Boyd, you took your jacket off. You look different. He said, hi, Mom. Okay, Miss Zellman, Miss Kelman, Miss Legg, Miss Schwartz, Mr. Dodge, Mr. Billings, Mr. and Mrs. Kilgore. Those are the Mildners. Mr. Mildner, Mrs. Mildner, Wayne Mildner. I'll get to you in a second. I didn't forget your name. I didn't forget your standing, but I did forget your name. Mrs. Maddox, you changed seats. Oh, okay, Mr. Maddox, you're allowed. Right over here, Miss Hall, Mr. and Mrs. Wilson, Mr. and Mrs. Herrera.
All right, you get the point?
Mr. and Mrs. Tucker.
Wait, the audience goes crazy. Hold on.
Okay, whoops. Funny, I broke my leg. Eklund, Mr. and Mrs. Eklund, Mr. Hatcher. Right in this area, I got 1 minute, so I'm just going to try to call, because I want to, I got to get that one. Miss Klosserath, Mr. and Mrs. Young, Mr. and Mrs. Jennings, did I get it right? Mr. and Mrs. Thompson, Mr. and Mrs. Patterson, okay, Miss Alberelli, Miss Wood, Miss Forgette. Mr. Sawasa and Miss Sawasa.
Can you believe this?
Mirabili and Webb. And I think I hate to leave you all standing there. Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, sit down. I say.
Yeah, he did it. Harry Lorraine. You can go to Harry Lorraine's website. You can buy the book that I used. It's a Page Minute Memory by Harry Lorraine. And I don't know all those names, but I do know that number 5 was Bagel. And number 7 was Joe Biden. And number, give me another number.
17.
17 was Lazy Boy Chair. So it is easy. And I like how he just said that. Ephemeral. Would you ever use this technique? Would you ever learn it?
Absolutely. I am in the process of trying to get this book.
You're in the process of trying to get this book.
Yeah, Amazon hasn't
delivered
it.
You're in the process of trying to get this book. Did you really order it?
Yeah.
You did.
Uh-huh.
The process of trying to get the book. So you ordered the book.
Yeah.
That's different from the process of trying to get the book. Come on, be honest. You didn't order the book.
I didn't order the book.
I knew it.
But I plan on doing it.
You intend on it.
I very much intend
to do that someday. Well, thank you, Matt.
You got it, Greg. Anytime. I will be here all year quizzing you on this. So.
You think you're going to be here all year?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. No. Things are looking very good for your future.
Thank you. Hopefully
mine. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
All right. Are we done picking on that woman at Harvard? You know, she's not the only affirmative action case that we can talk about. Lots of people get affirmative action benefits, like even white men, even like Joe Biden. Yeah, Joe Biden was chosen to be Vice President of the United States, not because he was any master of the Senate. He was a clown. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew he was a dunce. But he'd been hanging around there long enough. Let's see here. This is the fake news talking about why Obama chose a lightweight like Biden. Cut 15.
You think about Barack Obama running in 2008, a black guy, right? He's running and he needs to be balanced out in terms of trying to convince white men, white voters to come to his side. So he picks somebody like Joe Biden.
The reason he was put on the ticket in the first place was not because he was akin to Obama, but because he was so different than Obama, right? Because he kind of balanced the ticket, because he made people in 2008, you know, kind of maybe more culturally conservative white voters who might be uncomfortable with Obama. He sort of vouched for him.
See these political insiders. One is that Joy Reid character, and the other one is, I don't know who it was, but somebody on MSNBC. And, I mean, speak for yourselves. That sounds like a very bigoted thing to say, that we would need a white person somehow to feel comfortable, we being Americans. Like, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. People basically vote the top of the ticket. If the bottom of the ticket was a black person, so what? So what? So what? It doesn't matter. Regular people don't care. But a lot of the woke left, they do care. And they chose Joe Biden because he was a white man. How about that? Sometimes it's not being a white man. It's being... Well, you know, it's really kind of cool these days, cooler than ever before, being gay. I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's uncool. I think it's, I don't know. It's neither here nor there. Just don't jam it down everybody's throats all the time, huh? Enough with the flags, certainly in the schools, certainly in the churches, gay pride flags in the church. But hey, Being gay right now is hot. Just ask Pete Buttigieg. Cut 19.
Pete Buttigieg is the first major gay candidate ever.
Buttigieg, who is openly gay.
He's a Christian, a veteran. He's from the Midwest. And he's openly gay.
He's openly gay. And that was not just, you know, I didn't have to look far and wide for those clips. And there were thousands upon thousands upon thousands of articles written about him being gay as he was running for president. That's why he's the transportation secretary right now. That's a real job. And why did he get it? He got it because, well, he prefers men over women. And I think that really is a disservice to every single one of us. So Claudine Gay is, like, not alone in getting something she does not deserve based on stuff that really doesn't matter. Race, gender, orientation in Buttigieg's case, even Joe being white. Dan Quayle was picked, oh, by the way, for things that had nothing to do. George H.W. Bush, remember, he picked Dan Quayle in 1988. Dan Quayle happens to be a very smart guy, but George H.W. Bush did not know that when he picked him. And unfortunately for Bush and for Quayle, for whatever reason, he came off on camera like the proverbial deer caught in the headlights. And Bush later acknowledged that he blew it. But why did he pick Dan Quayle? Well, that same nonsense that you heard from those pundits earlier. I guess I need a youngster. I need somebody younger than me. And I need somebody, you know, well, I'm from Connecticut, so I need somebody from the Midwest. How about California? No, no, no. Can't be California. That's too far out there. Gotta. So all these other non-substantive matters, factors, right? Check in the box. That's what it's all about. Unfortunately, let's see here. How did the ultimate diversity hire? You want a clue? Who is it? Cut 21, please. All right. That's Kamala. That's Kamala cackling, of course. The joke is on us. But they told us it had to be. It had to be a black woman. Cut 20.
I think this is a moment to put a woman of color on that ticket.
100 prominent black men said the urgency to pick a black woman has gone from something that should happen to something that has to happen.
Yes, I think he needs to choose an African-American woman. Black women are the base of the Democratic Party.
Here's the problem. I mean, it's obvious to each and every one of us, but when you make it about gender and race and just the optics, what's on the outside, you almost, by definition, will ignore what's on the inside. So your eyes do the thinking for you, your eyes more than your brain. I know the brain is connected to the eyes, right? But it becomes more about what you see rather than what you can see. You can't see the character. You can't see the character if you're focused on what's on the outside. And there were a lot of qualified black women who happened to have been bypassed because Joe found the most obvious, nearest, most convenient Obama-approved nitwit.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
I just took a trip down memory lane thanks to Bob Brown. Out of the blue, he asked me if I ever landed on an aircraft carrier. And I proudly told him, yes, 158 times. 158 aircraft carrier landings. Now, how do I know it's 158? Well, we had special logbooks, and everything we did in the plane, whether it was on land or on sea, everything was logged. The type of landing, the duration of the flight, the type of mission, all that stuff. And, yeah, 158. I counted them one day. Anything over 100 is kind of like, it's kind of a big deal. It's kind of a big deal. About a dozen of them were traps with the hook, and then the rest were vertical landings in a Harrier jet. And he asked me, how do you practice for that? And basically, your very first flight in a jet is training for one day going to the aircraft carrier. You know, every time you land, you are practicing to ultimately go to the aircraft carrier. The same procedures are used, and it's a special way to land. not like you do on an airline where they, you know, try to make it nice and easy as possible. It's bam, right into the deck. Even on land, on ship, it's wild. Sometimes I can't believe I did it. I got to find some pictures and maybe put them online. That was a wild, wild time. Greg in Vernon, hello.
Hi, Greg, how are you? I just wanted to make two observations. One about this Pete Buttigieg. he's the perfect pick for the transportation director. He's really good at parking things in very.
You're going to make a crude joke about being gay. All right, stop the crude joke. All right, come on. All right, what's the other point you wanted to make?
All right, the other guy, the cop, the black cop, giving testimony. I don't know. It didn't sound credible to me. I don't think those people said what they said. I just don't believe it. It didn't sound real.
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree. It was totally incredible. And a lot of things that they said was just not believable. And then some of the witnesses were very clever. What they said was actually believable, but it wasn't even significant. I don't know if you remember Cassidy Hutchinson, the semi-hot girl with the white suit. The president then motioned to Bobby's clavicles, and he said, take me to the Capitol. This is according to Tony, who heard from Bobby. Cassidy didn't see anything. Just crap like that. The valet told me that the president threw his lunch at the wall, and therefore there was ketchup, and I was desperately trying to clean the ketchup. These witnesses, the whole thing was a sham. And it's amazing what they got by, though, the American people. We used to have guardians. We used to have people like Bill Sapphire and, I don't know, some of those columnists. Leslie Gelb, who would stand up and say, bull, you know what? Anyway, Greg, what do you do?
Well, right now I'm retired. I'm looking for work. I spent 25 years in the car business, and I retired in February. And I can't find a legitimate job. I don't know where all these jobs that Biden said he created.
You can't find a legitimate job. Are you moonlighting, doing something, something else?
I got a friend who has a painting company. If he has so much work that his crew can't handle it, he'll call me in for a couple of days.
Well, that's legitimate.
I'm not saying that it's not. I meant just a full time. I'm looking for a full time job. I need to work.
All right. Well, are you networking? Are you telling people that you're looking? You got to tell everybody you know you're looking. Well, yeah. Not everybody. You don't want to. There are some people you don't want to know that stuff. What do you do? What do you want to do? What skills do you have?
For 20 years, I was a finance manager in a variety of car dealerships. So I'm good at sales. I can make a point. I can sell something.
I hear you, Greg. Bring in a tank. Greg will sell the freaking thing. Why don't you call a car dealership saying you want to go back to work?
Well, because I'm 67 years old, and they want somebody like, in their 20s, early 30s.
Wait a second. First of all, I think that's illegal. Secondly, 67, so what? Trump was 69 when he became president. If he can become president at 69, you can sell cars at 67.
I probably can.
It happen.
Well, I've been up and down the highways, dropping off my resumes, and so far I haven't gotten any good responses, but I will.
All right, what are you wearing? Do you dress up when you go to the dealerships, or do you just kind of roll in there? I mean, how do you handle it? What do you do? What's your approach?
Well, I don't wear a tie, but I will wear a suit. I will wear a nice jacket.
Do you make an appointment ahead of time, or do you just walk into the place?
No, I walk into the place. I ask for the general manager. I say, listen, I just want to drop off my resume. I happen to be in the area, going to another store, and I forgot that you guys were here. And
that sounds like a reasonable approach, and it's not like you're but maybe you should call ahead, or maybe you should send it. I'm just brainstorming here. Listen, Greg, what?
Go online and go fill out all this stuff, and then they call you. And this whole Indeed thing is just a joke as far as I'm concerned.
What Indeed thing?
Doing it right. But
what
I'll,
thing?
I'll find
Wait,
work.
What thing? What thing?
Indeed, that job search thing.
It doesn't work. Yeah, I know. Somebody told me in the job placement thing, one of the big tragedies over the past couple of decades is migrating all this stuff to the online world, because that doesn't a lot of things just kind of evaporate. You gotta do what you're doing. Will you keep me posted and let me know if I can help?
Yes, there is. I actually mailed you a letter a couple of months back. I mailed it to.
What did you want?
Well, I just pointed out that, we're nearing the 2000th anniversary of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And I think the pendulum is sort of swinging back towards normalcy. Does it have anything to do with that? I don't know. But it's a good starting point to get people thinking in the right direction. where we're going is so far away from God is ridiculous. I remember when God was taken out of the classroom in the 1960s. And everybody said, oh, that's not a problem. And, you know, and some people said, well, you know, this is a very slippery slope. And it was a very slippery slope. Look at where we are right now.
Nope.
There are people that are protesting death to Israel, death to America. This is a war against Christian, Judeo-Christian values. That's what made this country great. Not white men. If it was purple men and they had the same values and the same, you know, moral way to live and the same work ethic, the country would have turned out the same. It's adopting a certain mindset that needs to happen.
Greg,
some people just don't do it because they just hate us.
You're 1,000% right. I agree with you on everything, except let's not make any jokes about Pete Buttigieg being whatever he is, all right? Lots to make fun of Pete Buttigieg other than that, but you're on to something, man. You're obviously on. You get it. Good luck in the job search. I think you're going to get something. All right, you sent me the note, but let me know how it works out. Thank you, sir. Let's go to, Barbara's standing by, of course. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, Greg. I'm so happy you took my call right after the one that you just had, because I wanted to comment on something that you said earlier in the show about, you know, having conversations with your audience about cultural changes. But the most important thing is what's happening with politics, what's happening with our open border and so forth. That reminded me of something that I heard from someone I respected very much. He and I were speaking together at a church about 5 or 6 years ago, speaking about religious freedom. And he made the comment that politics is downstream from culture, but that culture is downstream from religion. And so when you talk about the importance of people reconnecting with God through the Bible or whatever their choice may be, you're getting at the very root of everything that is needed to change this country. Because when our country was founded, religion was a passionate concern and a passionate interest of the colonists and of the founders of our country. And that is why we have America's religious tolerance that we have. But that's going away now because America's functioning has been inverted so that politics comes first. And then from politics comes the culture. Which parts of the culture are acceptable? Which parts are to be canceled? Having these drag queens come and speak to our children, having certain pronouns being used, all these things are cultural dictates coming from politics. And from the cultural also comes which religions are worthwhile and why people should be spiritual, but not really religious, because after all, spiritual is kind of a squishy, you know, let it be whatever you want it to be. Whereas the great religions of the world have basic teachings and messages from God telling us what we must do to be good people and what we must do to live by God's laws. So we've turned that inside out in this country so that now we're left with a situation where the struggle is not between right and left, but between civilization and chaos.
Wow. Spot on as always, Barbara. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And not only could God save this country and people getting closer to God, close to God, reconnecting with God, the country, you know, the big picture, but also individuals, little guys. The guy I'm looking at right there across the street looks all mopey and down. And I see a lot of lonely, mopey, down people these days. And it's very easy, easy to slip away and to be consumed with the world and all of this stuff around us. But the ultimate relationship is awaiting each and every one of us. And take it from me, it's worth pursuing, okay? Oh, my goodness gracious. It so is. Open up that Bible. Please give it a shot. Charles Stanley Life Principles Bible has those little footnotes that I certainly needed to start the conversation. And I did it not too long ago. Anyway, it worked for me. Barbara, we thank you again. What's the name of your website?
It's Americans for Freedom of Religion, AFFOR.org. And we will be celebrating National Religious Freedom Day on January 16th, the day when all Americans are supposed to celebrate and commemorate the Virginia Statute of Religious Freedom by Thomas Jefferson, which is the basis for our First Amendment. And that comes this year right after Martin Luther King Day.
All right. AFFOR.org. AFFOR, Americans for Freedom of Religion.org. Check it out. Barbara, we thank you. And, there's a big report that crime is down in a major American cities. Murder is down. Murder is down. They always say that murder. You know what? Outside of war, I've never seen anybody killed. I'm not so caught up in the murder rate. I'm caught up in the stealing rate, the shoplifting rate, the theft rate. And with everybody just kind of giving it up, right? And, there's less, they have less need to kill. There's less need because it's all there for them, right? Isn't that? Could that be part of the equation? I'll be right back.
Greg Kelly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Hey, there was a school shooting in Iowa. I think just the shooter is dead and maybe a few other people injured. Whenever I hear about one of those things, I believe in the Second Amendment, the Second Amendment, and somehow I believe that more guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens will mean less violence. I really believe that. I really do. You want to hear Joe Biden actually trying to talk his way out of that cheating scandal? Joe Biden was nailed for ripping off words, copying people's papers in school, and then copying paragraph after paragraph of some British politician in his speeches. And Joe Biden tried to explain his way out of that, thought he could pull it off. He had to quit the race. This is all the way back in 1987, but it's still interesting. Claudine Gay may have a point. Maybe she should have that job. I mean, Joe Biden was busted. He kept his job. Cut 12.
It's been raised that by my opposition that I have paraphrased Neil Kinnock, and it's true I have, and I will continue to, because the sentiment he expresses is a sentiment that, in fact, I think best expresses what's at stake here about building a platform for people. I did not say to paraphrase Neil Kinnock. I should have, but I was talking about me in there, and I was applying the same exact thing Kinnock said about himself to me, which applied. As I said it.
He actually did have to quit the race. And I do believe Claudine Gay needed to get the boot. Everyone's saying it's racism, at least on the left. This is something. Let's go with cut four.
Harvard's first black president, a woman named Claudine Gay, resigned her position. Everything from a bad faith hearing on campus anti-Semitism to unfounded plagiarism charges were thrown at her.
I don't think it's fair to say all of her critics were racist, but certainly a few of them were.
It looks as though she was targeted. Well, do you think this is a race issue just as much as it is an issue about anti-Semitism?
Now, this guy, I don't know who he is. His name is Coleman Hughes. He shows up on CNN and says, let's listen to what Coleman had to say. Cut two.
So you don't think there was anything about this that had to do with the fact that she was a black woman from the people who were claiming this as a victory against DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion?
I don't think it did. And you know what? Even if it did, that doesn't justify it. If you or I did this, or even any white scholar, it would be career ending to have 50 examples of plagiarism. And it has to be, because how can you be the one upholding Harvard's integrity when you yourself have failed? It's as if the commissioner of the Major League Baseball or the NBA had a lifelong history of steroid use and was now the person in charge of kicking other people out for steroid use. It's completely untenable. And well, my question about the internal Harvard review that you seem to think was a very rigorous process is, how did they only find, what, four or five examples of it when there were 50, almost 50 to find? And plagiarism, it's not like it's not like true crime where there's a million perspectives on it. You kind of lifted the paragraph or you didn't.
Yeah, good for Coleman Hughes. That is a great, great, great point. And I am surprised that there are people alleging, as you just heard, a whole bunch of people saying that this is race-driven. Here's another, Mara Gay. She's at the New York Times, and she's really leftist nut job. She says that whenever she sees the American flag, she's triggered. She doesn't really like seeing the American flag. Makes her think of white supremacy. But anyway, here she is, Claudine Gay, black woman. It was not about her being a copycat or basically tolerating anti-Semitism on her campus. It was the black womanhood thing that got her in trouble somehow. Cut one.
The thing that really disturbs me is unrelenting campaign from the right and from some conservative activists to slander, discredit, and ultimately, I guess, somebody used the phrase, we've claimed a scalp, I think, on social media, to essentially unseat Gay and other presidents as well when they don't like, not just the handling of the horrific attacks on Israel on October 7th, the way that was handled on campus, but really anything else that they don't like about not just these presidents, but actually.
All right, stop. Taking it too long to say nothing. Other than it's racism and sexism nonsense. We know it. You know it. Everybody knows it. Every sane person out there. The left, they really are demented. Woke will make you demented. Got to go in a minute. Let's, before we go, Jeff, hello.
Thank you, Greg. Happy New Year. Listen, how many networks do the black people have to name after, like, Soul, Fox Soul, okay? I spoke to you a year ago.
Wait a second. Wait, I don't understand. Wait. How many networks do the black people have to name? What do you mean? What are you saying? I don't get it.
There's like 12 black networks named after like black people, like Beat Black Entertainment Television, and then you have Black Soul, Fox Soul. You have all these different networks.
Right, right. Urban oriented. Yeah. All right. Black oriented. Okay. What else? If you're saying if it was white, it would be really weird, right? It would.
Right. Well, we'd be thrown out of the white. We'd be blown, Greg. You'd be taken off the air.
Yeah, I know. It's very strange. It's very strange. I know. It's a real weird. Thank you, Jeff. It's interesting. Yeah, the fixation on race and color. I mean, gosh, 50 plus years after Martin Luther King, it's crazy. Robert.
Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Now do you believe me?
What do you mean?
That these young men come from countries where military conscription is required or they go to prison. They're already trained in weapons and tactics. They're going to become an entrenched mercenary force.
Yeah. Number one, I don't even know if Mexico has a draft. Look, I'm concerned about these people coming here big time, especially the military-age men. But you say conscription. Let's ask Diego. He's from Mexico. Is there a draft in Mexico?
As far as I know, there isn't. If there is, I didn't sign up for it.
You dodged it. Robert, lighten up a little bit. Are you what country that you know of that they're coming from has a military draft, conscription?
Muslim countries, for one.
Well, does it?
China,
I mean, I don't know that. You're throwing it out there. Wait. Do you have to join the military if you're, say, from Jordan? Do you have to? I don't know.
I don't know about Jordan.
All right. I don't know. I want to get that straight. No, it's interesting. You're right. I mean, if they're are they actually in the military? I don't know about the draft. And kind of rings true that would be happening in China. All right, Robert, you're on to something. Let me check it out. Jacqueline, I'm sorry I don't have time. Mimi, Rachel, Jason, and the rest to be continued. Tomorrow's Friday, and to be continued. Bye-bye.